Follow Anchor. This is Anna Garrett.
Like, oh, I made it now. Blah, 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 you know.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, everyone.
Hopefully finding enough to hear another episode.
I don't actually know what I'm saying.
Marketing, entertainment, tech, you know, all the fun stuff.
Hello, you. This is Anna Guerra, your host, and welcome to my podcast. Today, I'm here joined by Daniela Miranda, my guest, co-host, and friend, and now a blogger. That's right, Daniela, a blogger?
Yeah. I wouldn't self-entitle as a blogger, but I do have a blog for all accounts. So, yeah. So
what we're going to talk about today. Daniela, give it a go.
Mm-hmm. So my blog is my New Year's resolution. So my New Year's resolution has been the same for a couple of years right now. So I know there's plenty of people whose New Year's resolution is something like going to the gym or eating healthy or things like that. And you usually don't do it, and you use the same resolution for next year, and it's the same with me, except for a couple years now my resolution has always been to be a more thoughtful consumer. Mm-hmm. So to consume less and to be more sustainable in the way that I do it.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because I was studying management, or I was practicing to work in marketing, so I've always had this responsibility of, if you're going to do this, if you're going to work on this, then you have to know what you're affecting. And
it is a hard part, because with marketing, you're pretty much calling to be like having people buy your stuff. That's basically what marketing is for. So it really is hard to kind of have this poker face and talk about sustainability when your whole job is basically asking people to buy more, right?
Yeah, exactly. So my blog is about sustainability. Its main focus is on fashion, because I think it's just the most interesting industry to explore there. It's the second most polluting industry in the world after oil.
Yeah, there's a lot of waste. What, a lot of waste in fashion.
Yeah.
And a lot of, like, people working, how should I say, labor, high labor requirements.
Yeah. And it's on sustainability, on ethical fashion, and it's also, as always, is anything I think that I would ever write, it's on marketing. because to me, and I think you would agree with me on this, marketing is the basis of everything. And my actual resolution is, because I think that having a general basic resolution doesn't really help much. So it's not enough for you to say, I'm going to go to the gym more this year and I'm going to diet or whatever. You, as a marketeer, once again, and as someone who's working in a business-like perspective, we're used to data, right? So we're used to having targets, to having key results, and to having them split by dates. So I would be the one that would say, I want to lose a couple kilos in this month and more X in that month.
Are those smart objectives?
ideally. And I would likely say, I'm going to start by going to the gym like twice a week and then increase 3 times a week, things like that, you know, really put numbers into it. So how that translates into my case is I'm going to make myself stop buying one brand a week. So basically the way it worked for me was, by the end of the first week of January, I chose a brand that was Zara, and I set myself for exactly 1 year, so from the end of the first week of January until the same time in January 2019, I won't be buying anything from Zara. And so far so good. And then every Sunday there's a new post on the blog, and every Sunday I tell you like what brand I'm not buying from anymore. They're not all going to be fashion brands. Most are going to, but I'm also going to go through a couple others. And yeah, but that's not the whole content of the posts that might also be interesting to explore. I usually try to have a proper like topic to explore on the post because I'm not really here to do posts just boycotting these brands and telling you all the reasons why you shouldn't buy from them. Plenty of these brands, the reason is always going to be the same. There are fast fashion brands like Zara and H&M, which were the first that I chose, that no matter how sustainable they try to be, the business model is always fast fashion, and it's always trying to sell and sell and sell and sell new things every week. And that's never going to be sustainable. That doesn't even make sense for us to do. So the it's not a point of doing this whole post on saying I'm not shopping at Zara because they don't pay their workers or because they are hurting the environment. No, there's no way they can fix those things. If they fix that, there'll still be a problem. Of course, if Zara decides to pay fair wages and to use only organic cotton and things like that, of course, people should sh support the brand. But it can never be like a perfect brand like others can, because of what it defends.
The business model, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, kind of lost my train of thought there, but that's the point. The point is for the posts to not be just me insulting brands at all. I'm also going to try to shed a light more and more as the year goes by on the good brands that I'm switching to, the better ones, the more sustainable ones. And most of all, each blog post is on a specific topic that I'm learning about. So, for example, something that I wrote about recently that I didn't know anything about before are fabrics. So everything I knew about fabrics was for my own like comfort, I would say. I knew nothing in terms of, yeah, like a lot of fabrics I didn't know where they came from. I didn't
And
know
what
anything.
need to produce them, right?
Yeah, I had no idea. I had no idea how much water you need to produce cotton. I had no idea of the problems
This
that there are.
mafia, right? The seed mafia.
Yeah, exactly. I actually had an idea of that because I did a project for university on Monsanto. But I never related it to clothes, you know. You think about Monsanto and you think about the plantations and the GMOs, and you think about food. Does it ever occur to you that these things are being used on cotton?
No.
Yeah, and
You
cotton.
never think about how clothes are made. You only
You
see like
never do.
only remember them when they're like fabric on a table and it's being sewn into something, sewed into something. And you never think
Exactly.
about the actual fabric, how the fabric is made. You never think about that.
Exactly. And the problem with cotton and non-organic cotton is that, and obviously I'm a newbie, any listener can feel free to correct me, but is that most, I think 95% of cotton that exists is not organic. So basically, everyone's switching to organic food. No one wants pesticides on their food. No one wants to put pesticides into their body. But for example, there's still a lot of pesticides on
Your skin.
skincare and makeup. And even worse, what you really, really don't see, fabrics. So, for example, I recently learned that a lot of people who struggle with allergies are just making it worse because their sheets are probably non-organic cotton, which is just sleeping on a bed of pesticides. And I never, yeah, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I totally remember this from the documentary that you recommended.
Yeah.
What was the true cost, right?
The true cost, yeah, it's on Netflix.
Yeah, Daniela mentioned this on her post, and then I ended up watching it, and I definitely recommend some of the things that we're talking about today. You'll be able to see them in more depth on that documentary, which is up on Netflix.
Yeah, it's one of the most known, I think, documentaries on the clothing industry and how unethical it is. And I think it's very good for beginners. It's very good for people who just don't know much about this, as I didn't, and really want to at least be a bit more aware. And I think everyone should watch it regardless of if they're going to change their actions or not.
Yeah.
Because it's interesting either way. And yeah, so fabrics were a big change for me because the first thing that I thought of when I thought I'm not going to shop from these brands anymore and I'm going to try to be a more sustainable consumer, the first thing that came to mind was looking at the labels in my clothing and looking where they were made. And it's funny that almost a month after I started researching this, that doesn't really matter to me anymore because the place where they were made doesn't say much. Sure, I do prefer clothes that were made in Portugal, for example, where I'm obviously from, than clothes that were made in Bangladesh, which is where the labor is the cheapest.
Yeah.
But there are sustainable brands in Bangladesh. So the label doesn't really tell you anything. You really have to go deeper into it. And then, what is it worth if I buy something that's made in Portugal or the Made in Europe label that's very well known, but then it's non-organic cotton? So basically, when you're buying non-organic cotton, what you're doing is you're buying things that you know have pesticides on them, which is weird because organic cotton wouldn't be that much more expensive. There are really cheap pieces as well with organic cotton, but you're buying something that you know had pesticides on it. Those pesticides went to the land and went to neighbor crops that probably have food. So, and that food could even be considered organic because it's so difficult to know what's on your soil.
To me, what I found interesting was how they were talking about how the model of fast fashion and the fact that you're buying more stuff is making people use more pesticides on crops, and that's affecting people who live on the land. Yeah.
So apparently there's a big problem, as they say in The True Cost, with farmers' suicide because of Monsanto. And obviously this subject has been very explored and it's very biased by now, but it's logical. It makes sense that the same things that affect food affect the tissue, the fabric industry. And then cotton is really just the tip of the iceberg. And I think it's very funny because most people don't know much about fabrics. And the one thing everyone knows is to say, "Oh, I like cotton. Cotton is a good fabric." Everyone says that, and it's
And
really not.
like that was good marketing, right? If you, after all these years, people still believe that cotton is the best thing. So whoever made that up, yes, right?
The 100% cotton label is one of the most powerful things without us noticing.
Yeah.
And to me now, I just get so sad when I go to wear something and I read 100% cotton and I don't read 100% organic cotton. And I'm just like, I've been doing this for all these years. And there's plenty of fabrics I didn't even know. For example, I was looking into some sustainable and better for you, your body and your skin sheets. And apparently, one of the most common fabrics when you're looking for that kind of thing is bamboo, which I never considered.
I have never heard about bamboo as a fabric.
Yeah, and apparently there's also pillows made of bamboo. Not the pillowcases, the pillows. So there's a whole world out there.
To figure out. Okay, so you said that they're not always going to be fashion brands. Do you have any like specific industries that you think you might be targeting soon? I don't want to spoil people on the names of the brand, so maybe industries.
Yeah, definitely. Food is going to be one. I'm not biased, but I'm lucky to be doing this project in Berlin. Actually, this week that we're recording this on was just the Fashion Week in Berlin, which had a big side event called the Ethical Fashion Week. And Berlin is the right city to be doing this. The first bulk, like modern bulk store was here. There's so many secondhand shops and sustainable clothing lines for any type of clothing you can picture. So I'm very lucky.
Yeah.
And that also reflects on the other industries, and food is one of them. I have a lot of choices for more sustainable products. And for example, for brands and shops that use less plastic, which will be something, definitely something I'll be writing about. And it's actually something that doesn't necessarily come with my New Year's resolution, because I was already doing it last year. I have the habit here to go to a supermarket where there's barely any plastic, and where you cannot have like a plastic bag, and you cannot like put your fruit and vegetables in plastic bags. So that will definitely be a topic to explore next.
Any other industry that you might be thinking about? I mean, I would dare to say that technology has also been kind of, especially with the latest news in terms of Apple making products worse by their updates. That's the thing that's promoting people to buy more devices to make that, you know, just tech in general, they're always focusing on innovation. You have to have the latest product, right?
Obviously, these are going to be at least 52 articles, and I haven't written them all. I do write quite a little bit in advance to be
you
able
have
to
the predict. List the all the, with all the brands ready.
No. I have about half of the brands ready, but I would be guessing. Obviously, this can change over the course of the year, but I would guess that I'm not going to talk about technology ever. I might do something like a guest post where someone else talks about it for me, because I've already been discussing that with one or two people to do guest posts. You would also be free to join if you'd like to. But I won't. And I won't because although I love technology, I'm a lot closer to technology in terms of
other industries, and you want to be hired in the future.
No, that's not it. I'm closer to technology from the software, not the hardware perspective, you know. So I really like to be on top of like the new apps and everything. I work for an app right now, and I'm not like the kind of person who goes for the latest model of this phone or this computer. I really like those kinds of things to last. So I don't think I would be the right person to speak about it.
Okay.
Because
okay.
I don't feel like I'm wasting anything on it. I mean, as much as possible. At the same time, I wouldn't like to do it, and I don't feel comfortable doing it, because what kickstarted my blog was the fact that I think we consume a lot more than we need. And with technology, I think that's a little more of a blurred line. While with fashion, it's so obvious, you know. I think technology won't be an industry. Fashion, food will be two industries. I don't think I have any other in mind. Things for the
it's like special technology, you know, with Black Friday, you know, the craziness that it is with Black Friday. And I remember myself feeling like, oh my God, there's all these great promotions and offers that I'm seeing. And am I really going to let this pass and not buy anything? I mean, I don't really need anything, but these are just so good. I'm going to miss this. Didn't you feel like this?
No.
No? Okay.
Never. Not with technology, no. I think I'm very... I don't know why. I cannot explain it, because I am very passionate about tech. But as I said, I think it's from a software perspective. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not geeky enough to really understand hardware.
Specs, yeah. Like computer specs.
Yeah, no, I'm not that person. Definitely not. I actually had a problem at my new job because I couldn't turn my monitor on. So, no. Yes, I do work at a tech startup. No, I couldn't turn my monitor on. It was very nice to have to ask that. As you can guess.
Yeah. Okay, so now let me ask you something. We've talked about this internally. internally is me and you in chats. We don't actually have like a specific like mind reading language, not yet. But how scared were you about starting this blog? I don't mean just in terms of, you know, what companies might say, but even people and stuff. Were you scared? What was going through your mind when you first thought about this?
I was never scared, not even a little bit, I think. And the reason I would say is I've had tons of blogs. I have no idea how many, but I've been writing in a blog ever since I can remember. I've had blogs about everything that you can think of. I've had blogs on marketing, on lifestyle, on like personal diary, on movies, on makeup. I've had blogs on absolutely everything. And I gave up on all of them very quickly. It's something I'm super comfortable with. I've used all of the platforms. And the reason I wanted to do this was not to have a proper blog, like and really bet on views and really try to build a following or anything. I considered writing it just privately for myself so that I had like a platform or a way to track how this is
Document your journey
going.
and everything, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But making it public would make sure that I wouldn't quit.
It makes you accountable.
So that's the only reason why I did it. The only reason. And I think if you know my style of writing, and if you're used to like reading other things that I write in any type of context, you would understand that this is a completely different tone of voice. I'm writing there as I speak. I'm writing there in a very unedited format. So that is a lot like just a personal diary. And I'm very open to feedback and to people participating in the conversation because I do have a lot to learn from everyone, but it's not the point. So I was never scared, no.
And are you scared now that people have actually read it and people are now commenting? And are you worried or are you okay with it?
I'm not scared because the current audience that I have are friends and family and people who have similar blogs. So the only people who find my blog are people who are very, very interested and have similar projects. So I think I have nothing to fear for now.
I was mentioning this because obviously in case of my podcast has been on for a longer time, and at first like only my family and friends knew, then suddenly my coworkers, and now people at a higher position in my company at Microsoft know about it. So it has quickly escalated to something way bigger than I would think, at least from 3 months of working at Microsoft, for example. So who knows? I know there was, I remember there was someone from Google who actually commented on one of my a LinkedIn post that I did mentioning my podcast. So it has quickly become something that I guess I wasn't expecting in terms, I mean, I wanted and I was expecting more people to come, but not people as high as I'm getting. That's, I
Yeah.
guess, what I'm saying.
Yeah, I guess I get where you're going. Yeah. No. I don't think I'm going to get there because you're speaking about marketing a lot and you're using your marketing skills to promote it somehow. And
And
I would love to do it, but I don't think I'm going to do it because I would need to take a lot of time and I'm not sure it's something I want to focus on, just simple as that.
Yeah, I do take a lot of time. Like I've spoken about the exact strategy here on Anchor, and I think people have access to it over on the rest of the podcast. Just how much time it actually takes. Like maybe producing the content is about like actually recording the content might be like 10%, and then 30% is editing, and then the rest is promotion. So promotion takes up the biggest amount of time, honestly.
Yeah.
Because you have to, in the way I'm doing it now, like I have to create the images to post on like the horizontal ones that go over to Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And I have to create the pictures for Instagram stories. And then I have to set up the scheduling to make those posts, and that requires me to do a copy for the posts. And if I want to do like different copy, because for example, LinkedIn might not be the same way that I speak to people as Twitter, for example, so I might do different copies. And then what else? Also, just internally talking to people, trying to, if someone comments or if someone listens to my podcast, I try to interact with them. So it's not just, hey, cool, you liked it, huh? Actually trying to make a conversation, it takes a lot. It takes a lot of time. And then sometimes I even post, so it's not just posting once. Sometimes it's posting the same content twice. And with what I'm doing with Medium, even putting the posts on Medium, which actually hasn't been giving me the return that I wanted. So one of the two things that I started implementing, like at the beginning of this month, probably were doing the Instagram stories things and getting like a personalized custom thumbnail for each episode, instead of having like just the standard from Anchor with my face. That was one of the changes. And the second change was getting the podcast over to Medium. And out of those changes, definitely the Medium one is the one that is not paying off so far. So we'll see how it goes and if I'll keep doing it. But so far it hasn't paid off. And I'm thinking of dropping that and just going over to YouTube and put the podcast over on YouTube. So we're still looking into it.
I think that would be very interesting. I'm a big fan of YouTube as a means of sharing.
And I've told you, Daniela, that the plan is to, in the future, do videos, and that would be a good way to kind of bring more people. And there's the subscribe, just being able to subscribe and getting a notification and everything every time I post, and just having the discovery of YouTube would be pretty cool. So we'll see what happens. But I don't want to make this about me, although I did, and go back to your blog. So has it been hard? I mean, you've only done, is it two or three posts?
So by the time we're speaking, it's only been, well, it's been two plus an introduction. So two from the actual Sunday ones, quitting a brand, but there's also an introduction one. And tomorrow there's going to be a new one. So I think by the time you publish this, we're probably going to be around five since we have so many episodes pre-recorded.
I was going to ask you if you think that it's going to be hard to keep this up, but it might be too early since you've only posted little and that you just started your new job. But what are your predictions? How are you feeling?
I don't think it's going to be hard to keep up because already I'm doing about 3 posts in advance. So being 3 weeks in advance, if I can keep that rhythm up, then it will never be a problem, I think.
Hey everyone, this was it. This is the end of the episode. And we're gonna have to say goodbye. It's always hard. We always love being here with you. But while you don't have a new episode, you can always follow us on social media and see what we're up to, and also interact with us. We're totally free to connect with you if you want. In my case, you should definitely follow me on Instagram. That would be the best way for me, and that's where I'm most active right now. But just Twitter, LinkedIn, that would be okay. In terms of Instagram, you can follow me at NRLGuerra and Daniela.
Also on Instagram as Daniela TPR.
She's that simple,
That simple.
You know, the pros, they say, oh my God, That's one thing you're going to think I'm trying to stretch this conversation again, but just a really quick thought. You know, when people go on TV shows and they're asking the end, where can they follow you? And they just bring up a ton of social media. The real pros, they just say one thing here.
Yeah, because you're not
And I
going to write
guess.
everything down, right? Ideally, you
Yeah.
wouldn't have to write anything down. People would just be easily
Search you.
searchable.
Yeah. I'd
That's
like
actually okay, stretching the conversation again, but that's
that.
actually a tracking problem that I've had in my daily job, is that we try to track every action to see like sources of our users, obviously. And a big chunk is going to organic. Simply because they heard about it somewhere else, but they are too lazy to click. So they just Google the name. Yeah.
I see what you mean. Yeah, definitely. Thank you all for listening, and I'll see you on the next episode. Bye bye.
Bye, everyone.